Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Tigress. I know I took last week off, and I just thank all of you for being patient with me. It really was just like a roller coaster week. I have been spending a lot more time alone at home. Just my social battery just kind of felt like it ran out, but also because Henry, my boyfriend who I live with, has been traveling. And, you know, I love my alone time, but when he's traveling, I definitely feel how much of an accountability partner he is in my mental health. And sometimes that takes the form of just reminding me to go to sleep when I need to go to sleep, you know, at my midnight bedtime, and not getting distracted with TV shows or TikTok or more emails. And even with eating and making sure I'm eating at regular times and not kind of suppressing my appetite or forgetting about it because of work and things like that. So I feel like I love alone time, but also it's been like a good reminder of, you know, where I have some growing edges to do in terms of taking care of myself in my own mental health journey. At times when my accountability partner, who I'm so very thankful for, happens to not be around. It's also just been, you know, a crazy start to the year. I feel like everybody I've spoken to is kind of maybe in a similar place of being like, oh my gosh, how are we already a month, 1/12 of the way through 2023, and it's nothing like what we expected. And I had a conversation actually with one of my teammates today, and we were talking about how 2024 is a presidential year, which is right around the corner, and it just feels like, you know, it just feels like the 2020 election was like just happened, and to be here 3 years later and kind of preparing, you know, in adjacent to the political world, to see presidential campaigns and having that be top of mind again, or even just, you know, realizing that the State of the Union address is tomorrow. I feel like it's a constant, like, oh my gosh, what is happening in the world? Where is time going? And trying to be really present and also just trying to take care of ourselves. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of reflecting because my birthday is coming up. And as you probably learned from one of my past episodes, I get mad reflective on my birthdays. But I'm turning 25 this Saturday, which is so crazy. I keep thinking about how when I entered college and I was 18 years old, I remember looking at the seniors in college and being like, oh my God, they're so old. Like, the senior boys have like real facial hair and they're like, you know, just like look old. And like, I couldn't even fathom like, you know, post-grad life. And here I am like 25, 2 years post-grad. And I don't feel old. And I'm not saying like old is a bad thing, but it definitely is like 25. When I was 18, 25 felt so far away. And, you know, I think in many ways with the pandemic, I was probably stunted a little bit in terms of maturing. And so I feel like in my heart, I'm still like a junior in college, but here I am as a post-grad, 25 years old. And it's just got me in my feels. And I think that I've been, you know, kind of following through with my 2023 goal of being a lot more reflective and just doing, you know, doing things like journaling and meditation, which I've only done a few times. So I don't think that it's like, oh, I'm now a meditator, because I'm not. But, you know, it's been a 2023 resolution just to like create more space for reflection. That's part of the reason why I'm so excited to be like back with Tigress and everything. But one of the things that I've been really reflecting on is like all the crazy things that I've done in my like life / high school, college career when I really started paying attention to extracurriculars in my life. I've been thinking all about these like crazy decisions or adventures that I went on that I don't fully like remember because I think I was really dissociated when they happened. But also, like, I think these adventures that represent a lot of where I was in my mental health journey and like where I've grown. And actually, one of those adventures was when I was the only girl on the boys' varsity baseball team in high school. Granted, this was a no-cut high school where you could try out for anything and you would be accepted. So if you wanted to play soccer, you were on soccer. But in terms of ability, they would like place you in terms of like whether you were JV, JV2, varsity. So when I say I was the only girl on the boys' varsity baseball team, like I tried out, there was no softball team, and there weren't enough players to create like varsity and JV. So there was just varsity. So by default, I was on the varsity boys team. And I kind of like, I was looking through my iPhoto because one of the memories that like my phone showed me was a picture of me in my baseball uniform. And it just kind of like brought all these memories back, but also like just this thought like, oh my God, what was I thinking? Like, so for context, freshman year of high school, I was 2012, so I was 14 years old. So I'm 14 years old. I am doing pre-professional ballet, like Royal Academy of Dance, you know, exams every single year. I was really into ballet and I looked like a ballerina, super skinny, like, you know, had my little ballet posture, my little duck walk ballet feet and everything. I get to high school and I'm like already very, very excited, got myself on like a routine of, you know, trying every single club that I could think of / I thought would be good resume builders. So Model United Nations, Mock Trial, you know, Junior State of America, AAPI Club is something that I founded with my Asian best friend in high school. But I was just overloading things onto my calendar. And sophomore year is when I start really ideating the nonprofit that I started Period, or what is now Period. So I'm like an overcommitted high schooler. I am having like already mental health things like anxiety and I had just gotten diagnosed with PTSD. And, you know, sophomore year I started and like choreographed and coached the school's POM team. So I was like literally teaching myself cheerleading and different cheers at night and then going and hosting like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday rehearsals every single day, teaching choreography, leading warm-ups. It was a whole thing. Like I with my 25 year old stamina now, where like I need my 8 to 10 hours of sleep and I don't have a social battery, like I do not know how I did that when I was in high school. Like that was a different Nadia. That was Nadia like pre lots of burning out. You know, there were a lot of reasons why I burned out so much in high school, and like my emergency room visits didn't start for until later in high school from exhaustion. But like sophomore year was like really when I think that my workaholism like took over, like girl boss way too close to the sun. Like when I tell you, it was like 16 different extracurriculars from ballet, all of the different clubs, and, you know, pushing for leadership in those clubs, you know, maintaining like straight A's. And then kind of randomly with literally no previously expressed interest in baseball or softball or even like a fucking sport, I decided to join the baseball team. And, you know, I had done different sports in high school. I had done, I didn't do track and field. I did, I tried volleyball, didn't like that. I did tennis in the spring, my freshman year. And I think that's it. I think I just tried tennis and then I got like athletic credits for ballet. So I just tried tennis, but I can't even remember where the idea for baseball came from. I think it was something like I might have had a conversation with like one friend about how, isn't it crazy we don't have a softball team? And like I had never played softball before. I had no interest in playing softball, but I guess something came over me and like this impulsive thing in my heart where it just felt like the absolute thing that I needed to do was advocate either for a softball team, or if I wasn't going to, you know, start a softball team, I was going to join the boys' varsity baseball team. And I had a few friends on the team already because, you know, when in the POM team, I was like cheering at the basketball games, and a lot of the guys who were in like JV and varsity basketball then played baseball in the spring. So I knew some of the guys, like I was friendly with them. I wasn't best friends with them, but I literally just remember like going to the athletic director at the school, who knew me a lot as like the girl who would show up and be like, I'm going to sing the national anthems and I'm going to do this POM squad and give me these uniforms and I'm going to fundraise for the uniforms. And like, she knew me in like the cheer POM squad capacity. But I think I just went to her and I was like, look, Sandy, I'm going to join the baseball team. And, you know, I looked at the rules. This school is all about like inclusivity, and I made a whole case for it. And she was kind of like, you know, okay, let me talk to the coach. I met with the coach the next day, and I don't even remember anything about like one-on-one interactions with the coach. His name was JD. I remember that. And there was an assistant coach named Mike, but I remember him very clearly. And like, he was basically just like, you know, a white dude who coached baseball for years, loved baseball, and had no connection to the school, just like really loved baseball. And I remember meeting him, and then somehow I ended up on the team. Like, it was, there was no tryout or anything because of the nature of my school, but like, it was strict in the sense that like, you needed to show up. This was not just like, oh, baseball once a week. It was like, you have baseball practice 3 times a week for 2 hours after school for practice. And then when you have games, you have double headers, which can be anywhere from like 4 to 6 hours. And driving there, because a lot of the teams, which were like smaller private and magnet schools that we played, were like 1 hour to 3 hours away. So we'd be on a school bus. So like, this was not a small commitment. This was like hours, like usually every day. And, you know, I would go into the girls' bathroom right after school with my all my baseball gear. I would put on the baseball pants, you know, put on both my ankle bracelets because my ankles were so fucked from ballet. Like, this was a big commitment. And I fucking sucked. Like, I mean, I never played any sort of baseball or softball before. I mean, I did like maybe Little League when I was like a wee little child in New York. But like, I was not like, oh, I played softball and then I'm coming in. This was like purely, I don't know what got into me. Like, I guess it was just this undeniable thing that I needed to do, was like get girls on the baseball team.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch Money. Are you saving to reach your financial goals? Reaching those goals isn't just about getting more money, but by managing what you have. And the best way to manage your money? Monarch Money. Monarch Money is a new kind of finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and takes the headaches out of budgeting. Try it free when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. Monarch puts all your accounts, investments, transactions, and finances at your fingertips. With a complete view of your finances, you'll gain insights on your spending and find new ways to save. Plus, Monarch lets you customize your dashboard, collaborate with your partner, set custom budgets and goals, and track your progress toward them. See why Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it, and why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch Money the best budgeting app overall. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And like, I think a lot about like why I did it and like what it was motivated by. And like, I remember my mom being like, why are you doing this? Like, is this because of like trying to get into college? Because like, obviously this is not how you get into college. Like, you play on like a losing baseball team. with no prior interest. Like, it wasn't because of college. Like, first of all, my baseball didn't even like make it onto my Common App or college essay or like any listing of curriculars. But like, I did it for 2 seasons. I got my varsity letter. I showed up to practices. I went to games. Did I ever actually play in games? No, I was usually bench warming, and I learned how to shit talk, and I learned how to spit and chew sunflower seeds. But you know, I practiced with right field. I threw with the guys. I did the warm up, and none of the good players ever wanted to warm up with me and be my partner because I could not throw very far. So I would do like the, you know, start like 20 feet away, 40 feet away, and then we would go across the field, and you had to throw 80 feet, and I could never throw 80 feet. So whoever was my partner had to like throw to me, and then I would throw back, and they would run forward to catch the ball and then run back and then throw to me. It was a whole production. But like, I don't know why I did it. Like, it wasn't because of college. It obviously wasn't for any sort of like social standing. You know, my school is very, very small. It was like 70 people per class. It was very small. It wasn't like this was going to be how I became popular. And it absolutely did not add to that. If anything, it was like, what the fuck is Nadia doing? And like, I was literally wearing like men's baseball uniforms that were too big for me because they only were ordered for the boys team. So like, I don't know what got into me. I think it was kind of this like impulsive, like I put in my heart this like mission that's usually something about like, what? They don't like girls? I'm going to join. And like, no one else is going to do it. And like, I'm going to talk to all my friends about it and maybe they'll do it. No one does it. So I got to do it anyways. Like this searing commitment of mine. And you know what? Like, I didn't hate it. I mean, I did it for a long time. I put so many hours into it, but I was exhausted. Like, I put this over like an additional 2 to 6 hours of sleep. I also like eventually had to cut back on ballet, which was like, you know, my main love, my passion, because of my baseball hours. And my ballet teacher hated it because suddenly my right arm was growing and getting bigger and couldn't fit into the, you know, different leotards and outfits. And I was just starting to like be a little bit more what she called like clunky in terms of losing like the gracefulness of a ballet dancer, because I was, you know, then going to school and spending hours a day, you know, doing baseball, you know, warm-ups. But like, yeah, I did it. And I can't really explain why and like what kind of, or I'll just say no thoughtfulness. It didn't really come from any thoughtfulness, but it came from a place where I did get a lot of pushback and I was teased for it. And probably every adult in my life and my doctor who wanted me to cut back on, you know, commitments was like, why are you doing this? And there was no real answer to it. And, you know, I don't regret it. I think that the baseball team taught me a lot of valuable things. Like, I actually think one of the best things that it taught me was about having purely platonic relationship with guys, because I think before baseball, which was like before age 15, 16, like I always felt like I was trying to not seduce, but like have some sort of sexual power over guys. I think from my dad, I really learned that like relationship with men was like sex is power, sexuality, body like is power, and like attraction is power. And like relationship with men was about power, which is just so unhealthy. And I think on the baseball team, like something I will always be thankful for with JD, the coach, was like from day one, he just treated me like one of the guys, but also acknowledged and treated me with the respect that I deserved as like a girl on team. Like, you know, the other guys were not allowed to spank me. They all spanked each other. They would like tap each other on the cups that they wore to protect their dicks. And obviously they were not allowed to do that. And I know they made dirty jokes, but if I was there, like, you know, he was a country boy. JD was a country boy. He had like, you know, more Southern manners. And so I'll always be thankful for the fact that like he really created an environment where some of the guys, if they ever tried to be rude to me or anything like that, like he would cut down on them. I also remember being really embarrassed one day at practice because I wore like one of those Uniqlo Heat Tech shirts that was like really tight, but it was also like pretty low. And he pulled me aside and he was like, yeah, you can't wear that in practice. Like, you know, I'm all for like not having a dress code because the school didn't have a dress code, but like, this is practice, like wear something practical. And at first I was so embarrassed because I was like, oh my God, I hope he doesn't think I'm like trying to show my cleavage. But he was like, you just got to wear something where like you're here to practice. You're, you know, not here to flirt. You're not here to wear unpractical things. And like, that doesn't even give you the support that you need, like in your body. And he was right, you know, like it was a shirt that was more revealing. But like, I think I took it as like, you know, looking back on it, he's like, he said it in such a way where it didn't feel like it was shaming or anything. It was like, you need to wear like a sports bra and like you need to stay warm. But I think that he just really set an environment where even though I was the only girl, like I felt really respected. And when I talked to the other guys, like we just had platonic relationships. And I think that some of those relationships were the first platonic guy friends that I ever had. Like they weren't friends who were guys who like, if they had the opportunity to, or like if I ever showed an openness to, like would want to fuck or like would want to hook up. It was like guys who were there who just wanted to be friends and they wanted to talk about music. And some of them, like we went to the Black Keys concert together and we just like, you know, sent each other songs. And we like, I talked to them about their girl problems and they talked to me about my boy problems. And like, I feel like it really taught me platonic relationships. So, you know, I met a lot of people. It was like unexpected adventures. I learned a lot. I have so many stories, but like there was literally no like thoughtful reason why I decided to go on that adventure. And it wasn't just like a small impulsive adventure. It was like an impulsive decision that I made that led to like a 2-year commitment of so many hours put in. And so many hours like bench warming and like doing things that I would never otherwise do. And like part of me thinks about like why I kept doing it. Like, you know, in every other part of my life at the time, I cared so much about like being captain and being like head bitch in charge, being like the president of MUN, the president of mock trial. Like I cared so deeply about leadership and all these things. And I think maybe it was like a release when I was in baseball where it was like, here's literally a few hours of my day where like I am the worst on the team. I don't belong here. There's no hope for me in leadership and I can just kind of like be and I can try my hardest. I can be challenged in a new way that's like literally not for any other external validation. So like I kind of think of it in that way, right? But like, I don't know. I've just been thinking a lot about this because, you know, the picture popped up and I just hadn't thought of it in a while. And like the more and more I reflect on it, it just is so absurd that like this is a part of my life story. And, you know, I think that there are other instances where I had like a similar, you know, impulsivity that led to like a really long, meaningful, but unexpected adventure. I think probably the biggest one being when I ran for office, which is like a whole other conversation. And like, I think that that was an example of like impulsivity and like kind of this, like, I'm on a mission, I need to follow through, that like I did burn out from and I don't think would be something I would do again if I had the chance. I mean, I don't think, honestly, like as much as I'm thankful for baseball, like if I had the wisdom that I did now and like wanted to not burn out, I wouldn't have done baseball because I was so overcommitted. And that was probably the first thing that could have gone from my schedule. I also think like, I think that there, when I look back at examples, when I've done like these kind of impulsive and long adventures, like baseball or running for office, which are very different and we can go into that. But like, I think that while there are a lot of beauty to it, there are a lot of things that were hard because I didn't always keep up the same motivation to be involved, but because I had such an ego around not quitting and giving it my all, I was kind of stuck doing it and like too far gone. And I think that there were moments where I was doing something that maybe like I wasn't genuinely passionate about, or like I didn't give enough thought to what it deserved. And I would kind of find myself like sitting there wondering, like, who am I? Like, am I dissociating? Am I exhausted? Yes, 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 you know? And I think that, you know, I feel like what one thing that I've learned as I've, like, matured is, like, the difference between impulsivity and, like following a gut instinct. Like, I have impulsive thoughts. I have impulsive urges now, but I have like the patience and the wisdom and just like the brain mindfulness capacity to take a step back and be like, do I have the capacity for this? Is this like an impulsive thought from like a place of fear and scarcity? Or is this like a gut instinct? Like, I've thought this through and I want to keep thinking about it before I engage. And there are instances where I'm, you know, kind of dangerously impulsive. After all, like, impulsivity is a part of borderline personality disorder. But I think now, like, my impulsivity is like, you know, booking flights and going shopping and spending money on something I didn't need, or, you know, things like that. Not like, oh, I'm going to run for office or like start a company. Like, those bigger decisions, I feel like I have learned to just give myself more space to be able to breathe and think through it. Anyways, yeah, so that's what I've been reflecting on in the few days before my birthday. I'm nervous but excited for 25, but, you know, we'll stay in touch and I'll see y'all next week. So signing off here, this is my last episode as a 24-year-old. I have a lot of exciting updates coming to you in Tigris. So with that, I'll leave y'all to it. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed my story of baseball, and please let me know what you want to hear about. I'm back every single Wednesday, unless I'm having a little minty bee, with a new episode on Spotify or wherever you stream your podcasts. Bye, y'all.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.